What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. Today's episode, of course, is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is an awesome app that allows you to find any rooms of any of your sports interest. You can make your favorite teams in your profile, tag your Twitter, and you can talk about the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, and most importantly, Major League Baseball. I'm on there once a week. I'm on there all the time in other separate rooms. There's always a topic you can find on Locker Room. There's never a boring moment on the app. And again, download the app and join me this week to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports, and enjoy today's episode.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pirates, everybody. How are we doing today on Thursday, May 13th. I hope you're all having a wonderful day as I am. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most. And again, welcome back to the best Pirates podcast, daily podcast, of course, that comes at you Monday through Friday every week of the year. As today on the episode, we're going to talk about some fun things today. The Pirates just don't stop making roster moves. The roster moves continue to happen. Of course, they have the number one pick later this year. We'll talk about the history of the Pirates' number one overall draft picks later in the podcast. And also, the Pirates start their four-game homestand tonight against the San Francisco Giants. But before we get to all of that, how about we talk about a guy's name that has been all over Twitter lately, and that's Will Craig. Will Craig, the former first-round pick of 2016. First baseman has been absolutely killing it in AAA Indianapolis. Lots of people said, why isn't he on the roster? Why is he not up here yet? Now that might change. According to Jason Mackey of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Miguel Yajure is on his way to Pittsburgh along with Will Craig. Very interesting. Yajure has made one start at Class A Indy, six innings pitched, one hit, one earned run, two base on balls, and six Ks on May 9th. Starting for a big club on April 21st at Detroit, he had the four innings pitched and four earned runs. So, Will Craig is also heading there as well. As we saw Phillip Evans leave the game yesterday, Colin Moran is still on the 10-day IL, I believe. And Will Craig, for example, has been doing some pretty good things for himself as well in AAA. And we look that over for us. Is it very possible that Will Craig comes up? Now, here's the deal. Craig is not on the 40-man roster, as I would assume. And, you know, he's enjoyed a hot start in Indianapolis. He has three home runs and two doubles in his first seven games. He was 1-20 over his first five, but he's now 5-6 in his past two. And then again, I mean, Colin Moran is not eligible to come off until next Wednesday. You need a first baseman on the roster. And it's just very tough because you already designated Todd Frazier, which is pretty interesting. And even then, you take into account the history that Will Craig has with this team. And this past offseason, the Pirates designated him for assignment, basically saying they were done with Will Craig. He passed through waivers. And he's back on the team. But here's the one caveat of this that I've been telling everyone, and everybody is agreeing with me, that's going to make this very difficult. He is heading to Pittsburgh, according to Jason Mackey, so we'll see what happens. But he's not on the 40-man roster. That means the Pirates would have to clear a 40-man roster spot for Will Craig. Now, here's the thing. Are you really going to clear a 40-man roster spot for a guy that will pretty much be in the majors for maybe a week? I would say a week at max is how long Will Craig is there. Because you have to think about it. If Colin Moran's coming back, he'll be fine. Like, if he comes back next Wednesday, that's that. That's that. You have your first baseman again. You can throw Wilmer Defoe over there if you want to. And Evans can get time to get healthy and even be a backup first baseman. So there's literally no point of having Craig there anymore. So would you really set yourself up on the 40-man roster by saying, okay, well, we're going to put Craig on the 40-man roster, drop someone off, and have a designated for assignment thing go on, and potentially lose that player from that 40-man roster for a first baseman to have for a week. That's a little tough. Now, of course, this is the tough decision. I mean, the Pirates have had a lot of tough decisions so far this year in terms of things going on with the roster. Obviously, Key Brian Hayes isn't eligible to come back until June 3rd. Trade assets are kind of playing better, like Adam Frazier, Tyler Anderson, and Richard Rodriguez. You've went through about five or six outfielders, including Brian Reynolds, who also got injured for a short stint of time and missed a series against Chicago. So it's very difficult to go over if Will Craig is going to come up or not. But if he does, I mean, what do we expect from him? He's hit the Pirates' first baseman this year have hit four home runs, the lowest total in the National League. Triple-A Indy first baseman Will Craig has homered three times in his past two games and has produced seven RBIs in seven games with Indy. That's from Rob Bernthal at The Athletic. And that's all good and all, but are you really going to base a big league call-up on two games? Because as I mentioned earlier, he was 1-for-20 before he started 5-for-6 over these last couple games. And here's the thing with me is I don't mind Will Craig. He's only 26. He's not like old or anything. But what is the benefit again? And I'll say it again. What is the benefit of bringing up a first baseman, having to clear a 40-man roster spot to do so, and then basically probably dropping him back down to AAA as soon as Colin Moran is back and healthy? I don't see the point. That's my point is I don't see the point. Now, you know, I don't know what the team's going to do. Half of these analysts don't know what the team is going to do. And that's just where it's at. But, I mean, if we do get to see Will Craig, I mean, he can hit the baseball. It's not that. He's hitting it in AAA. He's a power hitter. And we'll see if he comes up, we'll see what he can do. I mean, there's not, like, that's really what it is at this point with the Pirates, is it's if you're coming up to the major league roster, what can you do? That's really all they're asking for. And for me, I'm not excited about Craig, realistically. I think Mason Martin's a little more exciting to me, but he's clearly like 2 or 3 years away. So we're not going to see Mason Martin. Don't even like get that in your head. But with Evans and Moran not exactly being on like the 60-day injured list, I just don't see the point of doing this. Just struggle without a first baseman for a week. It's fine. You're not winning anything anyway, so don't worry about it. It's not like the Pirates are trying to get into contention. I know it's still May, but they're 6 games under 500. It's not like they're trying to like take the lead in the NL. And then I heard the Albert Pujols stuff. Not even close to happening. That will not happen. If he goes anywhere, he's going to go to a team that's in contention for a World Series ring or back home to St. Louis. And if Will Craig does come up, we'll see what happens. But that's just my thoughts on it. I mean, I want to know your thoughts. You all have actually pretty much shared your thoughts on it a lot anytime I mention his name on Twitter at LockedOnPirates. But maybe if you want to put some stock into Will Craig, if he does come up, you should check out Sports Trade. Sports Trade is where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It takes fantasy sports to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. A fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, and they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out today. Sign up today at Sports Trade and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. Today's episode is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. Car problems suck. We all know they do. And the thing that is really annoying about it is sometimes when you go to those big chains, you have to watch somebody from behind the counter try and figure out what kind of car parts you need, and it's just very taxing when you could do it yourself at rockauto.com. They have all the parts your car will ever need, reliably low prices that they don't price gauge like the bigger markets, and you do all the shopping yourself, and it's fast and easy. Rock Auto, of course, again, has all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you, and when we come back, the Pirates do have a history of having the number one overall draft pick selection, and we're going to run over those draft picks and see how they panned out for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we'll be right back. All right, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. And today on Thursday, May 13th, we're having a really fun little trip down memory lane with the Pittsburgh Pirates as they have the first overall selection this upcoming July. They've had it four other times, and all those times, they produced pretty well, I will say. Of course, they've had better draft picks over their lifetime outside of the number one overall pick. But we'll see what they do. And we're going to run over some of these picks just to, you know, give a little history lesson. And it's pretty fun to, like, actually look at how some of these panned out, not just off of how they played in Pittsburgh, but what they eventually led to. So the first came in 1986 after an atrocious 1985 year. The Buccos went 57-104 in 1985 and received the top overall pick in the 1986 draft. So this was kind of after the family was starting to kind of deteriorate before the 90s teams came up and really did well. And this draft pick was used on Jeff King. Jeff King, by the way, not the most flashy first round pick ever. He ended up playing 8 seasons for Pittsburgh. He was a pretty average guy. I mean, he batted .258 on his career. He was one home run away from 100 home runs. He pretty much could play anywhere. I've seen film of Jeff King before. He was pretty much that third baseman, second baseman, shortstop kind of prototype guy. But most of his game was at the infield corners. But he did see time in the middle infield, but he was mainly known as a third baseman and a first baseman. But the caveat with Jeff King was, again, he was a league average batter in his 8 seasons with Pittsburgh. But he did, in 1995, get traded to the Kansas City Royals for an all-star shortstop, Jay Bell. Well, he also got traded with Jay Bell, sorry. And, you know, he also got traded for Joe Randa. Now, Joe Randa, of course, for Pittsburgh fans who loved the team in the late 90s, was actually a lot more productive. He was only there for a year. He was selected, of course, by Arizona in the expansion draft. But, you know, Randa was pretty fun. I mean, he had an 817 OPS that year, which was really cool. And he led to the Diamondbacks picking him up as well. Only 8 players, by the way, if you really look at that draft, were made in the majors. I mean, that wasn't the greatest draft in the world, but for the Pirates, they made it work for the most part. Anytime you can get 8 seasons out of a top overall pick, that's usually what'll work. And that's pretty fun. And then moving down the line, it actually took them another 11 years to have the number one, or 10 years, sorry, to have the number one overall selection in 1996. And that year, the Pirates went pitcher. They got Chris Benson. And he was not exactly the greatest first-round pick in the world. He had 782 innings across 5 seasons with Pittsburgh. And, I mean, he had a 4.26 ERA and a 1.14 whip. So he wasn't exactly horrible. He just was never the first overall selection that the Pirates were expecting him to be. And it's also interesting that the Pirates also drafted Chris Capano in the 45th round of this draft. But once again, he was redrafted by the Diamondbacks in the 8th round. And he would go and spend 12 seasons in the majors with Milwaukee and the Dodgers. So if you remember watching the Brewers and the Pirates play in the early 2000s, Capano was actually a Pirates draft pick, but then left to go back to college. But going back to Benson, he was just never really the guy that you would expect to really, like, get into things. I mean, again, you take a long look. He played up until 2000. I mean, he was there for a while. He played up until 2010. He missed all of 2001. And after he left the Pirates, I mean, he went to the New York Mets. He had some decent success with a 4.5 and a 4.13 ERA. Then he went to Baltimore in 2006, had a 4.82. And then he took like 2 or 3 years off, came back in 2009 with the Rangers, 8.46 ERA, and then he finished his career off in Arizona. And that was that. And Benson, again, he was just one of those first overall picks that just didn't live up to the hype. And it happens. I mean, baseball is like that. There's a lot of times where you just really see this happen. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, this is where the Pirates really messed up. And it was in 2002. Now, 2002, I'm sure most of you remember, so go ahead and plug your ears if you really don't want to hear about it. But the 2002 draft was very interesting for the Pirates because they had the number one overall pick. And you look at the guys from this draft, and, you know, the Pirates, they took a wonderful guy named Brian Bullington, number one overall. And he was originally drafted by the Kansas City Royals in the 37th round in 1999. He waited a couple years and then got picked up by the Pittsburgh Pirates in the first round. Now, Bullington only spent 5 years in the majors. He had a 5.62 ERA. He only spent two seasons with Pittsburgh and only started three times as a number one overall pick. And, I mean, his whip was horrible. His ERA was horrible. He only pitched 81 innings in his entire career, so he was never really the greatest player in the world. His 162-game average based on his 1-9 record would have been 2-17. So Bullington was just never that great. And you look at the players that the Pirates passed up on in this draft that were also in this draft, includes Prince Fielder, Zach Greinke, Cole Hamels, Joey Votto, and Brian McCann, to name some guys. By the way, I'm getting some of this content from the great guys at Rum Bunter. They're really cool. Go check out all their work. They do a fabulous job of covering the team over at FanSided. And the Pirates just really messed up on this one. And I think it led to a lot of the Pirates not having success in the 2000s. It was just a terrible draft pick, and they never had a number one pick again in that decade, which was very interesting just because the team was very terrible. But, you know, I mean, that was just another caveat of the Pirates just missing out on really good talent. We've seen it before, and hopefully we don't see it again. But then, you know, the 2011 draft came along, and that's when the Pirates turned the page. Now, Gerrit Cole, of course, was the number one overall pick and the number one selection for the Pittsburgh Pirates in this draft, and that's when the page turned. And he held the highest signing bonus for any draft prospect ever. This stood until Adley Rutschman signed with Baltimore in 2019. And, you know, Gerrit Cole, his time in Pittsburgh was great. I still have a Gerrit Cole bobblehead from a game that I went to. It's actually the old camouflage jerseys. And you look at what Gerrit Cole's doing now, and he's been in Houston, he's been in New York, he won a title in Houston. He brought back some decent trade value, which he should have brought back more, but Neil Huntington's just an idiot. And you look at his career in Pittsburgh, the highest ERA he ever had as a starter in Pittsburgh was in 2017 with a 4.26 ERA. Every other time his ERA was below 3.9, and the kid was just good when he came up in 2013 as a 22-year-old. Him and Jameson Taillon were supposed to be the dynamic duo, and then Tyler Glasnow was going to come along afterwards, and everything just kept, like, moving forward. And then the Pirates just never could get into contention. It just was never going to happen. And he was traded to Houston for Feliz, Moran, and some other guys that aren't even here anymore. And that's just on Neil Huntington at this point. But he's had success, so he's a successful first-round pick in my eyes just because, I mean, yes, the Pirates, of course, still don't have him. And the fact that they don't is also kind of annoying. But the fact that they drafted a guy who's going to probably win the AL Cy Young candidacy this year in all likelihood is a big part of it. You know, and a big part of Gerrit Cole's issues in Pittsburgh, and this is one thing I think the new pitching staff is going to try to fix, is he was forced to into that stupid mold of being a pitch-to-contact guy, which is why Tyler Glasnow was also just having a downfall here. It was never going to work. Pitching to contact in this day and age is not what you need to do. It's a strikeout and home run league. But we'll see what the Pirates decide to do this year. They have the first round or first overall pick for the first time since 2011. It's the fifth time in their history that they've had it. And, you know, that should make it pretty fun. And we'll see what they do. I mean, it looks like it's going to be Lawler or later at this point. Two L's. So we'll see. What's two L's make a W. And today's episode is also brought to you by Locker Room. This episode, of course, again, is brought to you by LockerRoom.com. Download the Locker Room app from the App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms, including myself. I'm also in a bunch of other rooms as well. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. And today's episode, of course, is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, of course, is your home for all of your sports betting needs, and it's the only one place that has you covered and the only place we trust. You can bet on the MLB every single day. You can bet on the upcoming NHL playoffs, which start for Sunday for the Pittsburgh Penguins against the New York Islanders. You can bet on the NFL. The schedule just got released yesterday. NCAA futures and the NBA playoffs. Make sure you go to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% deposit bonus, meaning they will give you free money for putting money into your account at betonline.ag, and let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And when we come back, the Pirates have a four-game set against a very surprising team in the San Francisco Giants, and we'll be right back. Alrighty, everybody, and welcome back to the final segment of today's Locked On Pirates podcast. Again, I hope you're all having a wonderful Thursday afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. And for today, the Pittsburgh Pirates, as far as on-field stuff, as I've talked a lot about off-field stuff today, as far as on-field stuff, the Pittsburgh Pirates stay at home, four-game series starting today against the San Francisco Giants, who, as of right now, are the first-place team in the National League West. Now, who would have told me that would have happened? They have a two-game lead on the Los Angeles Dodgers as of right now, sitting at 22-14. And as far as the pitching matchups go, we get Anthony DeSclafani, who has actually been very solid this year with a 2.4 ERA and a 2-1 win-loss record, as he will face young Will Crow in the matchup. We'll see how that goes. The Pirates, of course, are the underdog in this game and are 6-9 in home games this year. The Giants, of course, are 8-10 away from home. The thing that scares me a little bit going into this series is PNC is a hitters-friendly park, and the Giants have 47 home runs this year, which is fifth in Major League Baseball, while Brandon Belt leads them in that stat with 8. So we'll see. The Giants, of course, in their last 10 games are 6-4. Their opponent, or their batting average, hasn't exactly been great, but they have been outscored by 8 runs in those 10 games. The Pirates, of course, are 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as far as the other pitching matchups go, we get Will Crow versus Anthony DeSclafani tonight. Kevin Guzman versus former Giant Tyler Anderson. I am very excited for that. Guzman is a 1.97 ERA. Might be an all-star campaign for him. We then get Johnny Cueto coming back to PNC Park against young Mitch Keller. And also on Sunday, we get, it looks like JT Brubaker versus Alex Wood, which should also be another one. And if you look at the Giants pitching staff right now, it is absolutely electric. I expect this series to be a really low-scoring series. I think it'll be pretty fun to watch. I would expect the Giants, I think, to win this series 3 out of 4, or the Pirates to split 2-2. That's my realistic expectations. And we'll see. I mean, I usually keep it short with these previews. I like to recap the games more than preview them. But we'll see how the Pirates fare this weekend as they take on the San Francisco Giants. You can, of course, follow me on Twitter at LockedOnPirates or my personal Twitter at MVP_Ethan for all of your Pittsburgh Pirates news and needs. I will be coming back tomorrow, of course, to recap the Thursday night game against the San Francisco Giants tonight at 6:35, as well as talking about any other things that's going on in the world of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I love you all so much. Keep coming back, and have a great rest of your Thursday.